God bless BIM on Independence Day and every day with citizens who are homegrown and world-class. Proud Bajans as accustomed to learning and upskilling as they are to the sweating. My sweet Barbados is even sweeter when you have the knowledge and skills to live your best life. You don't stress life if you have the tools to make a lemonade out of limes. So if you're proud to be a Bajan, put up your hand and open your mind with the courses from the NTI at training.nti.org.bb. Coming straight to you for free, cause Barbados you come from.
26 minutes before 7 o'clock, Sluggy Dan is here. And as I said, we've got a studio full of stars, including, as I said, the one, the only, Kyrene Clark. From the one and the only Kyrene Clark, as we say. Good evening to Mr. Sluggy Dan.
Manners and respect. Greetings, your boy, Uncle Sluggy in the building. And we have two awesome guests this evening here. Some great homegrown music sounding all soulful on a Saturday evening. 434-1790. And I want to tell Barbados something. Thank you so much for coming out to the Teen Talent Finals. You know, he came here after the semifinals quite dejected. You know, the audience was very scanty. But then they came here and begged Bajans to come, please. They ask you, they implore upon you. And the finals, Ollie, was packed to capacity. And the children sounded absolutely awesome. So I'm extremely thankful for that. So Barbados, big up on yourself for coming out and supporting the youth. That is what I love to see. Next week, Saturday, and bringing the five winners. You know, talk with them a bit. But today we can have a conversation with the lady that doing all the damage every finals, you know, clean up. It's called she the cleanup boss. and we have a interesting young lady, Ollie, have a series, another Bajan. It's your friend is so interesting, you know. You know, you complain that when you go on YouTube or if you use your Fire Stick or if you turn on Barbados television that showing movies or whatever, it's always be consumed by you know, other cultures a lot. Most of the things you see pop up in your YouTube is from America or wherever. Most of the movies, 99% of the movies gonna be American. So then they saw this series online, you know, like interviewing, speaking with, having a conversation with Barbadians, Ollie, but in a unique way and getting some very interesting stories from the average person. You know, it's always said, and I like to do it on here. You know, like sometimes the average person can have some stories that are so interesting that will blow your mind because you see this person going along callously about their way. But they got so much things inside their heart and soul, you know, and so much things on their brain, and they see life in such a unique way. So this series, Another Bajan, really, really impressed me. So you want to have a conversation with this young lady first as well. But Ollie, do the honors first and give Barbados a bit about who she is.
Certainly, sir. Chantel Evelyn has worked in the creative and corporate sectors and has also given service in the charity sector. Her work in the local film industry has spanned over 13 years and various roles: producer, assistant director, scriptwriter, and more. Chantel has worked with local, regional, and international productions, covering a wide range of genres, including commercials, mockumentaries, movies, reality series, music videos, talk shows, and documentaries. Among many others, her credits include the local series Keeping Up with the Joneses, The Stanholm Party, Brain Fit, the Netflix series Outer Banks, MTV and Oxygen's The Bad Girls Club, and Day O, the documentary on the life and music of Irvin Burgee. Most recently, Chantel has single-handedly taken on a passion project, Another Bajan, and this series, which she produces, films, and edits, captures the authentic stories of everyday Bajans. Chantel holds a bachelor's in management and a master's in international business management. She enjoys travel, trying new foods, and quiet evenings with a good series. Ladies and gentlemen, Chantel Evelyn.
Good evening. Good evening. And first of all, thanks for coming on Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. I really, really appreciate it. You're doing great work. First, how are you doing? How everything going? You see, you got a new series out. You're doing well. How everything going? How you feeling?
I am good. You know, when you're doing something that you love, even though it's tiring and it takes up all your time, you enjoy it and there's a sense of fulfillment. So that's where I am right now, and I'm really enjoying that.
Sweet, great. And not my phone, please. 434-1790. Ollie, quickly. I think it's 266-4862. WhatsApp. Please give out the WhatsApp number. 266-4862. I hope that's right. Ollie ain't pay me any money, but I hope that's the correct WhatsApp
You're 100%
number.
100% correct. Well, I just had to confirm it.
Right. 266-4862. not Sluggy number, not Sluggy cell phone, send all questions there. We have how do you go right from business and masters in business to movies and short film?
The question is how you went from film to business and international business.
Oh, it was film first.
Yeah, so I started working before I got into studying. Because when I left school, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom asking me, "Sean, you don't want to go away and study?" And I just thought, why? To waste your money? Well, I don't know what I want to do. So I decided, let me just work for a bit and see where life takes me. And one of the places life took me was to film. And I really, really loved it. I started off wanting to act.
Mm.
And I did a bit of that.
So that died? No,
yeah, that did.
Why?
Because I found things like producing and directing. Oh. And I really like that.
So you can't be like Tyler Perry, produce and still act?
I could, but I don't want to.
Well, you honestly don't want to, or you are afraid to?
Oh, shoot.
Because you say you say that you did want it to before,
mm-hmm.
but then you find other things. You feel it's that, man, are you too accustomed to producing now? Are you ain't really act that much yet? You feel it's a part of you? Is that if you could do it now, and if you could do it now without any of these restrictions you have in your mind, would you do it?
I don't know that I would. I think that the time.
So what you
that
can't say
has,
no?
Has
say no then. What you can't say
I
no?
I don't say no absolutely.
That
to
means
many
it is not
nowadays.
No then. Cause if it's, you can ask me certain things, but do say no, never.
Well, I said no, I would never do a master's either, and now I got one with distinction. So
okay. Bang. So you don't know.
So
for right now, you don't feel any bug.
But no, for right now, I really enjoy creating things.
Nice.
And so, like I said, I started in acting, but then I got an opportunity where I got to work behind the scenes on a film. And I just fell in love with that. I fell in love with watching something go from an idea to, you know, pulling the pieces together and having the stress of how we can get this done, especially with no budget and where we can get the people. You know, I enjoyed seeing it come together and then seeing it be finished. And I honestly think I enjoyed that more than being on stage.
So Barbados, especially people in VOB, you all heard that. So when they explain that I'm not a singer, you know, even though people interested from the radio, right? I would say artist or vocalist, right? That me don't sing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At all. And people will push it upon you.
Yeah.
You know, because it used to be in police band, used to sing in police band, mm-hmm. but people want to push it upon you. But it'd be so much joy. If you could take a young person who's totally oblivious to what's going on, you know, green. And then you see that develop into something much better. Like Waltz was a little man that used to be just laying on the street, just laying on the block. And then he's a youngster now that's toured Trinidad and Miami and all over. So like to see them kind of things happen. Like, come on, man. Like that, like you baking a cake, you just got the flour and the eggs, they ain't together yet. But then you put them together and then that cake come out. Yeah. People just don't understand, right, Ollie, how enjoyable that is for some people. You know what I mean? So I love that. I love that explanation. Cause you're looking for an explanation to write on. So I can write on yours. Okay. Now, why did you decide to do this project about Barbadians? Where this idea came from and why did you feel a need to do it?
So I think it was something that was in me for a long time, but when it first became a part of me, I don't think I had the courage, the know-how, I don't think I had anything in order at that time to do it. Mainly the courage, though. That was the real thing that I needed. but recently, maybe in like June this year, I was showing my boss something that I did, and he made a comment. He said, "You see, this is what we need. We need to see more of ourselves on TV." And I said, "Say no more." I went home and I sat down and I conceptualized this program, Another Bajan.
Mm-hmm.
I did a whole pitch deck and, you know, thought out what I would want it to be, why I would want to do this, and the kind of people that I wanted to feature. And from there, I decided that I was going to do it. I was going to make it happen. I was not going to find all of the excuses that we often find, like, oh, I ain't got enough thing. I ain't got no funding. I ain't got no money. I am not really a video person. I can't edit too good. At one point, I would have convinced myself out of doing it with all of those things. But this time I said, no, you're doing it. You have, and I do this on my phone, by the way. I ain't got no camera yet.
What do you mean?
I film it on my phone.
Do all of what I see?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, no excuses, no excuses.
Wait, man. And Ollie, introduce your next guest. I want our next guest in. Introduce our next guest, please. I just want to show you something. Introduce our next guest.
Sure, just let me put on my reader, Sluggy, you know?
Yes, no problem, buddy. Because, listen, if you all see the production, and I hope you being real, being serious. This is, you do this, you do another Beijing from your phone?
On my phone.
You the superhero.
Yeah. I filmed it on my phone. I was going to edit it on my phone, but then I got access to a computer to edit from, so I edit on the computer, but I film it on my phone.
Listen, the community empowerment, the Ministry of Culture, National Cultural Foundation, everybody get plugged in with this lady, because if you do this from your phone, then you see the quality. And the stories, you're all gonna love it. Ollie, go ahead, let me bring him in next guest in this conversation.
Yes, sir.
We can tell them we ain't finished, we got till 8 o'clock.
All right, we're going just before 8, and the next guest is singer, songwriter, vocal coach, and momager. Ladies and gentlemen, Karine Clark. Place of birth, Barbados. Her middle name is Dolores. And she is a Barbadian, also known as Queen Karine. Respectfully dubbed as the Whitney Houston of Barbados, transitioning from adolescence to adulthood, Karine's soulful voice was a force to be reckoned with. With class and dignity, Karine represented Barbados at home and abroad, and won. Her pledge in life is to do credit to her nation wherever she goes, and to be a positive, wholesome light to the world in her music and writing career. Karine is not only a singer, she's a captivating performer. And let me tell you, I've got a list of her achievements. I'm going to try to get through some of them. In 2014, she auditioned for The X Factor in UK and also auditioned for The Voice in New Orleans, Washington, and UK. In 2008, she was nominated for the Barbados Music Award Best Gospel Artist of the Year. In 2008, again, awarded by the Barbados Tourism Association for the song which best promotes Barbados as a tourist destination, a song entitled Barbados. 2007, winner of the BHTA Award for Cropover 2007. 2006, Gold Certification Barbados Music Awards. Also in 2006, nominated for the Barbados Music Award Best Gospel Album of the Year, Best Gospel Single of the Year, and Best Selling Female Artist. Also in 2006, winner of the Barbados Music Awards Best Gospel Album of the Year Award and Best Gospel Singer of the Year. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going into 2004, 1996, and beyond. I'll give you some more, though. I have to give you some more. 2005, winner of the Best Gospel Album, Barbados Music Awards, and also winner of the Best Gospel Single at the Barbados Music Awards. 1996, winner of the Caribbean Song Festival. Also in 96, winner of the Barbados Song Festival. 1995, winner of the Barbados Queen of Song. She was the lead vocalist of one of the leading Caribbean bands, Crossfire, and also lead vocalist in the Holders Band, Inkelin Yariko, accompanied by Arturo Tappin. I'm sure we can go on and on, but it will take for the rest of the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Karine Clark.
Ah, good evening, Barbados. Thank you. I forgot all about those things, you know. My goodness.
You're the superstar, too. You know, there's no one like you.
I
welcome
don't
study. To, welcome
good
to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme.
Thank you for having me.
Superstar, we had the presence of a royalty. How is everything?
All is well. God is good. I'm alive and I'm thankful.
Nice.
Yes.
So, I throw you straight in the fire, right?
Being
a woman of God, right, Karine?
Oh, Lord.
But being an artist, too.
Yes.
Right, and a creative.
Yes.
When you see a sister like that, so determined, but then putting out a product.
When I see
a sister, a sisterly hours that yes, no,
you mean
no, Shana? a black woman, a woman in Barbados, okay. a sistering,
mm-hmm.
Right? When you see someone so determined in the arts, knowing how rough it can be, what are things you yourself did to get you through them times? Well, I know you had a hard times where like it done with this nonsense.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you
for sure,
Chantal, mm-hmm. on an excellent work.
Yeah,
that I mean to see your work on a phone. I'm like, girl, give me your number. give me your number or give me a phone.
Yeah, 1 or 2.
1 or 2.
Yeah, that's real talk.
Give me a number or your phone, but I think that it's commendable.
I know YouTube too. You on YouTube as well. Who? Your Shanta, your series is on YouTube.
Yes, yes. So talking about. That is awesome, and I could actually identify with some of the things she said. Mm-hmm. In that, I haven't sung in a minute,
mm-hmm.
but I absolutely love coaching. Mm-hmm. I'm not anxious to be on a stage anymore, mm-hmm. and that's where my joy comes and fulfillment comes in coaching young people and seeing them become a different person on stage in 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, oh my god, I know I could do that. I say yes, so that brings me joy. I don't really need to be on stage yet before.
it'd be so refreshing to see people truly enjoy things,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if we're being real, Chantal and Karen, like that's hardly happened, you know what I mean? A lot of the times people just don't really truly be happy, but you're doing it. You get good at it, or the young people saying you're bust,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And so you go stick there, mm-hmm. but they would step back from something and do something else. Like you said, know, like you mostly enjoy yes. coaching,
and that happened because I discovered my daughter Trinity could sing,
mm-hmm.
so.
Sang.
Wore onto me if I sang.
Can sing.
I'm still singing.
Yeah.
But wore onto me if I discovered that talent and didn't do anything about it.
Mm.
So that has really where it started.
Mm.
And it was not with the intent to do what I do now, just doing what a mother would do who has a talented daughter like her.
Yeah,
That's all it was.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. No, yes. That's great. It's good that. So thank God for Trinity Day.
Yes, thank God for my daughter. That's a fact. She really awakened that in me, and I didn't know that I could do it. So I thank God for it.
Nice. No, Chantal, for you, when it comes to another Beijing, mm-hmm. what are some of the things you hope to showcase about us?
I want to showcase authenticity.
Mm.
I have a personal pet peeve mm. with the fakeness that we have mm-hmm. around us these days. I find, you know, there are a lot of social media is just not too real, you know, or it's only the positive things, the highlight reel of everybody's lives. And I think there are a lot of people who compare themselves to these things that aren't actually real. You're comparing yourself to only the perfect, well put together versions of people that you see, but not knowing the realness of what that person is dealing with, what their lives are. So one of the main things that I want to do is to showcase authenticity. I want to showcase authentic stories from people. I want to showcase people's challenges, their victories. I want to produce something that the average person can identify with, that the average person can get inspiration from. You know, they can hear one of the episodes that we did, a young lady, Chris, she spoke about her mother building a house over the course of, I think, 11 years on a minimum wage job,
mm-hmm.
right? Something that most people that would not be able to do, but she listen, put aside the money.
Serious yeah. grind.
Yes.
That
yeah.
is serious grind.
And she said she watched her mother, you know, watch her mother save and decide, all right, this year I'm working on the floor. This year I'm working on whatever. And little by little, her mother was able to do this. You know, I want to talk to the people who've had losses in their lives but have overcome, mm-hmm. you know, that loss. People who've had to change jobs 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken to people, the same Chris and Zen, who was the first episode that we had. They spoke about their weight. Zen, when he was younger, he was a little fat kid. He was a fat boy. Chris, the same. And actually right now she's a personal trainer and she's still overweight. And she spoke about that and the challenges of one, being bold enough to have the audacity to believe that as a fat person, she could be a personal trainer, you
yeah,
know?
And then the discipline to continue. Though.
Yeah.
She's lost
over 100,
yeah.
I think 130 pounds or so.
I need
so
to
far.
Lose some pounds.
Chris, you got to hook up with Chris.
Yeah, and she's very talented too.
Yeah.
Because you know her from before the personal training thing, from singing.
Oh,
you know me,
oh,
yeah.
She didn't talk to me about singing.
Yeah,
she
most people, yeah. She might not be holding back. Just if you didn't know, you didn't know because it wasn't anything that popular. But you know me, involved in everything. Mm-hmm. Once it's music and it's somebody young, I jump my hand in it.
Okay.
So yeah, she's talented, but that story is so inspiring. Mm-hmm. When you say about the audacity, you know what I mean, the audacity to want to be a personal trainer. Many people might see you as a fat person. Mm-hmm. But then you see Chris train and see Chris train people, you know, like in a half stepping.
Correct.
It, but what you find so amazing, right, is that he's got so much. When you talk about the authenticity, right, a lot of times, why that feels so much better to me is because we can't really be ourselves, our true selves, and we've got to be the person that people around us could tolerate. Mm-hmm. Like if there are things about me that you know would annoy someone like Ollie, if I truly care, I can hardly do them. Yeah. In his presence, you know what I mean? If I truly care, even if it might not be that bad, and it might give the version of me that he could accept or he could tolerate more. And I find in life that's happened a lot. Like so. Series like yours, right, is watching a lot of them, like a lot of interviews and a lot of conversations, and over time you could tell when one ain't real. Mm-hmm. you could tell when one structured, you know, good on a certain line, ask specific questions, but then you speaking to the person, sometimes you get things out of them that you may not even be looking for. Be like, wait, like, whoa, what are some of the stories that you can remember
From another Beijing
that really caught you?
Okay, so
the one that touched my heart was the little man that going blind?
Yes. Oh man. All right, yeah, I could talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. like for real, that word touched me, but he is so honest, man.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
he is so honest and vulnerable.
He is very, very honest.
Yeah,
he
buddy.
Is very, very honest. So I learned about this boy maybe 2 weeks ago. One of his teachers, who is a friend of mine, mentioned him to me, told me he has a student who's losing his vision, and he said he needs surgery, but the family can't afford the surgery. And when he told me how much the surgery was, I was like, nah, we gotta do something, because in my mind, it was too little to justify losing the vision. The surgery is $11,000. To me, that's a doable amount, you know? It's a doable amount and something that I believe that can be raised. So I said, I want to do something about this. So I did a special appeal episode of another Beijing that featured him. His name is Israel Johnson,
mm-hmm.
and he's 15 years old. He was diagnosed pretty recently, I think it was last year, mm-hmm. with keratoconus,
yeah.
which is a condition that causes the shape of your cornea to change,
mm-hmm.
and can lead to blindness, like complete blindness. His, strangely enough, when his mother said this, I was confused for a while. I was like, how you mean? She said his keratoconus was brought on and I guess exacerbated by him rubbing his eyes too much. Mm. I was like, what? Because
yeah.
he has allergies,
mm.
and so his eyes get very itchy. And she was explaining he uses like the ball of his hand to rub his eyes, and he rubs it very vigorously and very often. And that constant rubbing changed the shape of his cornea and is making him lose his vision.
Wow.
So, yeah, so right now he, as he explained in the video, he says all he really sees is blurs. You know, to use his phone, he has to hold the phone right up to his face. To watch TV, he has to do that at school. His friends have to take pictures of the notes and the work and send it for him. So I guess then he blows it up to be able to copy what they've sent. But he's 15 and he is about to lose his vision. And I feel like as a community, as a Barbadian community, as an another Bajan community, because that's what I am trying to create online right now, a community, not just a set of followers, right? I want a community. I want another Bajan to be a community. And so my hope is that as a community, we can come together and contribute to this cause and do something truly meaningful and save this boy's sight, because I can't imagine what it would be like to one day start to lose my vision.
Listen, and this money is not a lot. This money is doable. I want you to, if you have if you know the information by heart, I'll pull the information, because I want his name. I want the account number that people can donate to. I want the condition, because I saw you all had everything, like even the breakdown.
Yeah.
So I want you to I want you to give Barbados this information, because he's 15 years old, Ollie, and it will only cost is 11,000.
Yeah, 11 for the surgery, and then 8 for the lens. He'll need contact lens.
Right, so that's 5,500 US, and then 4,000 US, nine of money, you know what I mean? And got a lot of listeners who's sent me hundreds of messages from all over the world, you know what I mean? And usually that's deleted them most of the time, but bigger Auntie Cheryl and Susie and Joyanne and Joycelyn locked on, Auntie Cheryl and everyone locked on in New York and Canada, my cousin Valerie locked on. They want everyone to listen to this information. Now, all of my peeps, and if we know truly love Uncle Sluggy, and yes, this is emotional blackmail that we call it, Karen. Emotional blackmail they're using. If we know truly love me, if we know truly love me, you all were doing it. Give Barbara the information, please.
Okay, so donations can be made to First Caribbean account 100-120-4652. I'll repeat that again in a minute because I know some people scrambling to get a pen and a paper.
Yes.
So also, if you've missed the account number and you want to give me a call for me to give you the information, my number is 836-5942. No.
Give that number again. 836.
836. 5942.
Barbara, please give her a call or a message. No, you can give you all permission to call. No, she on air. I don't mind. Give send a WhatsApp. Send a text. 15 years old and he needs this surgery. That's 5,500 US and 4,000 US. Sorry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. So.
The account number again.
The account number again is 100-120-4652. And that's a CIBC account. The name is Plan A Productions. That's my production company. And all funds that go to that account are going to go straight to Israel because my company ain't got no money. So the balance on that is nothing. So everything going to that account right now is for Israel. Just keeping it real, is for Israel, right? It's a checking account, and the branch is Sheraton Center.
Sweet. So I give you phone number one more time. Make sure to hear.
836.
Yes.
5942.
Nice. Yeah. No, when you start this, right? I envision you didn't think that you would have received that you would have been doing a. Interview or conversation like that. No, you wouldn't think that so early in the game, so early into it, you would come across a story like that.
Not at all. This was not when I did that. Remember, I said I did a pitch deck,
yeah,
and I thought about all the things I wanted for this.
Yeah,
I had not even conceptualized or envisioned doing nothing. So, but
it will come across,
you know, you start doing things and. Sometimes life takes you wherever it will take you.
When the spirit tell you move.
Yeah, you move.
When the spirit tells you to move.
Move.
You move. The you know what I mean?
Spirit of God. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
That was Kerry Clark here, Barbados.
Spirit of God. Come on now.
Yes, the spirit of God, Kerry. The spirit of God. I want Barbados to please donate. See people call already and messages coming in. Thanks for that. Ronnie's here delivering tea. We tell me you are a vocalist. Ronnie, today everybody want tea? Just come on the Starcraft Network. You get free free Earl Grey.
Yes, come to
Tarkov. But you were saying that you think of all the possible scenarios, and nothing like this ever came across your mind. But then, while you were doing it, how did you manage to keep your thoughts together so you keep your laying the question and get what you want out of it?
Because
doing things like that could really touch you.
Yes, and I had decided from the moment I heard about this, I had decided I will do it, but I will approach it like another Bajan. Mm. So I'm not approaching it like a documentary. I'm approaching it like another Bajan. I'm just talking to a mother, talking to a child, and asking them questions about their life. And the main thing that I happen to be asking them about is the boy's vision. Mm. So I try to do it in a way that it could still be like in a storytelling format, you know, and not like I am throwing information at you, but more like, here's the story of this boy. Here, it started off with the mother talking about when she was pregnant with him and her water breaking on her birthday. Mm-hmm. He was due on the 28th of October and the water broke on her birthday on the 4th of October. So it started there. So you get a story of this boy and his life leading to the vision.
He was due when? The 28th
of October.
Hey, what about the 4th?
The 4th of October. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was born on his mom's birthday, and that was what was in my mind as I was doing
that. Gotta be hard
to tell a story.
Watching a mother tell a story like that.
Yeah,
gotta be really something things like that is really can't handle. Watching a mother, because you know that she have to be so brave. Yep. Because she cannot let him see or hear or sense her buckling. She can't afford a buckle. She got to be the strongest thing that he know.
Yeah.
And that is crazy, Karen. Like, you just say a thing about that. That is crazy.
It's, I don't know how she has managed, because she's had a lot on her plate. She has. And then to be in a position where you know what is needed. And she said this in the video, you know what is needed, but you can't do what is needed. I think that also breaks her heart as a mother and burdens her to know my child needs this surgery, but I can't do it. And so it was, I guess, hard, but I think for me, it leaned more towards... Well, I was leaning more towards being hopeful because in my mind I was like, I will do something about this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't beat people and make them donate, but in my mind I was thinking $11,000 is doable.
Yeah, it is.
We have to be able to raise $11,000. So for me, it was almost like a little excitement, like, all right, good, something will be done.
We can get this money raised and answer the don't leave yet, so you could give out the information again. Or you think that this is something that, like, we can't just try. We have to do this. You know what I mean? Because a child, a sight depends on it. And I know you have a lot of you awesome church people out there listening. That's locked on Calvary Moravian, always locked on Sharon Moravian, always locked on Jackson Church of God, always locked on. So all you I don't know who else we locked on. All my people in Beards, St. George, that's calling all your time, Gall Hill, Christchurch. All my people in Addisea, Shop Hill, Black Rock is obvious. Black Rock is my people. All of my people, I want you all to please support, kindly support. This child needs to raise his money to have this surgery so that he won't go blind. This is a serious roller coaster for a series that just started. like you know what I mean, like, just imagine these stories to come. So you're having conversation with anyone, don't care who it is. It could be a prostitute, you'll have a conversation with them.
I am having conversations with agents.
That's interesting.
I want to hear people's stories. I believe that everybody has a story. It's just a matter of whether or not you're willing to share the story.
Because he asked if it could be a prostitute. No, because, like, I love sex worker, okay. But so you can't say prostitute? Well, sex worker sounds better.
No, I'm cool with it, Sluggy. I'm on your Facebook, so I know you've been.
Is Sluggy setting me up? What's happening here?
No. I just post about
Facebook
the,
is locked on.
I just post about these shenanigans that happening in Barbados. Like, right now, Beijing Twitter is trending number one in the world.
Really?
Yeah, a Jamaican girl.
Okay, so that's all right.
A Jamaican girl came here.
Come on,
enjoying our sea and sun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She's really enjoying the sea and sun and taping it. So Britain will be trending number one. Britain will be trending number one.
We're trending because Barbados is a beautiful island.
Yes.
And visitors alike come and they enjoy our beaches, they enjoy our sand, they enjoy our sea, they enjoy our people, our hospitality.
Yes.
Right, that's it.
So it's you.
That's why it's trending.
I will let you have a conversation with Karen. Mm-hmm. This person, Karen Clark, who's the queen of soul in Barbados.
You really need to
talk. She's an interesting person. You hear me tell you?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm
one time.
To it.
Right. When I was young, like these one of these superstars, you know, they got like Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson and people.
And Karen Clark.
Yeah. You want to see? You know what's going on, man.
Security. Yeah. I need security.
But
here.
Barbados, I want you all support. And thanks a lot. I see calls coming in. See all the handing papers. So that means things moving. I love when I get in that phone number one more time in case I miss your phone number.
It's 836.
Yes.
5942.
Wait. You got tea? Come on, sit on here. Look. We can't. What was this here? Ollie, you got the tea?
Just me and you, Sluggy.
Wow.
I see Ronnie walking in all the studio with cups of tea.
But we got some sanitizer here. I guess
that's for us.
Yes, but you know we love it. No, another Beijing. I want you all to go on YouTube and subscribe. Make sure you watch this series. And I want to thank all in advance for extra time. You know me phone getting crazy. It's 7:15, but we're finishing.
Yeah, we got to spell it for them, though.
We're finishing so close to the 8. Yes, make sure you spell it. Because they can't spell another.
They might not. Another. A-N-U-D-D-A. Once again, that's A-N-U-D-D-A. Another Beijing.
Another.
No, D-D-A.
That's present past participle.
I got like I can tell say all you know, right? I can say so though, right? I know like Beijing's loving it and listening. But you know they got some boy right now that like, listening to this right and cringing and so vexed. You see because he dialect. No, he being serious. Somebody call in on your radio already live, but we had almost the whole hour. We had almost the whole hour discussing about
dialect.
Yeah, person said dialect should be on radio, and then the next week, now he bringing a doctor of a man named Vaughn E. Tatum. Mm-hmm. He's a doctor. He's a linguist. You know, he got a doctorate in linguistics, and then he come and explain that English itself is a dialect, is a derivative of a language, and explain why our Beijing dialect is in the essence of language. You see it here, you know, from an academic standpoint, and it really sinks your heart because she really hit Beijing dialect. So every time you read it, I just make sure you ring it in.
Well, so far people really love the name. So,
listen. That name is
so. I'm sorry for anyone out there that I'm offending, but
no,
you were sticking with it.
No,
another Beijing
dialect. It is. You know what I mean? Beijing dialect. It is. Yep. No, Miss Clark.
Yo.
No, that be. Speak about dialect. Mm-hmm. I saw your daughter in the clip, right? Mm-hmm. Overseas singing soca.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the clip is out on Facebook, but still, if you go on your Facebook page, you will see the clip.
Yeah,
so I ain't just talking, I ain't just gassing it up. You could go up on Queen Karen Facebook page, search through, you're gonna see Trinity.
Or Instagram for Trinity
Clark. And go up on Instagram and check Trinity's video, she performing soca, and it's not in Barbados either.
Yeah,
and the crowd is going.
They loved it.
In.
Yeah.
And this soca, I can tell you truth, right? Like, if you would tell me this 5 years ago, Fallen Trinity, I would have not believed it.
Yeah.
But I mean, quick, just like that, singing soca this year.
Yes.
And then you seeing that caring, and the crowd was going in. And even at the end, the MC was really happy. You see people genuinely dancing, enjoying it, and getting crazy. And it can be that they shoehorn crowd.
Or is that they've never heard soca before. And but I think that's what it is, because the school, the genre of soca is not a part of the syllabus. So her introducing soca at the school, it was something different and festive and fun. So they liked it.
Festive.
Yeah, but that's what soca is. It's festive.
Yeah. No, that's true. When you see that, what for you know, not only mommy that as a coach, you know, and a creative, what does that open up in your mind, seeing a reaction to soca?
What does it open in my mind to do?
As a coach, as a creative,
as a coach, I'm not limited to genres.
Yes.
There's no limitation to genres. You're either a coach, a vocal coach, or you're not.
Nice.
And and soca is who we are, indigenously what we are about.
Mm-hmm.
And she could only showcase to them what she has learned. The good thing about Trinity, however, is that she's quite versatile.
Yeah.
So it allows for them at school to see her as a vocalist singing jazz, which she tried out the other day too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So excited. And also R&B and different genres, soca. I've worked with persons with soca. I feel really honored to do that. I think this year was Trinity's first time in soca, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't even know what to think, because this was her first in soca, dancing, choreography and everything. So that whole experience was mind-blowing for me. And the experience has really awakened something in her. As a matter of fact, Trinity already has 2 songs written for Crossover next year. So she's ready.
Lord, boy.
She's ready.
What?
She ready.
Listen, let me tell, boy, Trinity Clark.
She said, "Mommy, I'm not going to be late this year." So it really fired up and awakened something in her. So songs are done, written, sent off to who producing it already to. And she's coming in to record.
Trinity
moving like a whole celebrity, for real.
No, listen, Trinity's is pressure out there. And Trinity's pressure.
How old is she, Sluggy?
16. But there's Trinity's mother.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you say, Sluggy.
Just following on from you talking.
But
she's 16.
I just pull you like, you're a cousin to it. You're a cousin to it. She young, so just ask me, not your mommy. Big at that. 16 years old. But Trinity's pressure, let me tell you, and it's on greatness. But is the vibe she's carried to. I had a competition, bro.
She has a song called Vibes, by the way. You could probably see if you find it in there.
Yes, it got me in the system. We can pull up Vibe. But I had a
VYBZZ, Trinity Clark.
VYBZZ. But I had a competition, Ollie, and that Trinity was in. And the children felt so good that Trinity came in the competition. No, I can tell when
you may be got talent.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I can tell when a real story, no, Chantel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you were thinking before people would say, well, you know, Trinity's a professional, she's singing reggae and all that. Listen to me. Everything Trinity Company live, we live going crazy. My number is double Stan Horn Party numbers.
She brought the crowd.
You hear what I just tell you? Stan Horn Party and Slam. It's got the most people online, right? Yeah. And my numbers double the Stan Horn Party and Slam. You say every night Trinity was on. Some of them even got a screenshot with Danny Kwan.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. But Dizzy Park, listen, Karen and Gato saying, you probably didn't know neither.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you know Trinity don't care what these things either. Trinity just love music.
Trinity don't, yeah.
My page, Bim Got Talent, was 1,800 people.
Mm-hmm.
Then Trinity and then Star. You know my pages now? 11,000.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like anybody could go and chat.
Trinity over to another beer drink.
Listen.
Because they
actually mean 11,000 over here.
Listen, you understand? Causing. But I can show you something. No, that ain't just music, Ollie. You understand? So they always do what others do. I always love the youth, because that ain't just music. You understand? That bigger than music.
Mm-hmm.
That's a vibe. No pun intended. That is Sony, but that is a vibe that I
Ziggy.
Bigger Ziggy Facebook.
Bigger
Ziggy. Facebook plugged in.
All my Facebook people locked on.
Bigger everyone locked on Facebook. But that's a vibe. That is a vibe, Ollie. Right? That is a vibe. I heard you spoke about a lady at time, right? They do New Bell. When you talk about Betty, right? When you talk about Betty West. And I done went to a band launch with Betty, right? But it was like almost all young people and Betty. And everybody, the DJ play, but everybody just wrong Betty and just listening and speaking. You understand? I'm showing you like some things bigger than just music. And that's what we need. That what
my
we need.
My mother don't message me. Hear my mother.
Mommy, come close to Mike. Come, hi. Boss you out.
Hear
boss
my mother. Out. Move away from the mic by clearing your throat.
That is a mother for you.
You.
That is a mommy.
Boy, listen, right? Listen. There ain't nothing like your mother. Here, Carrie, there's nothing.
Can't get away from the woman at all. I thought mommy taught you cooking.
There's. All you did, nothing like your mother. Shout outs to mommy. Locked on, but. How important, right, before we get into the coaching, how important right. How important is something like that to see Trinity come around, the children face later, people enjoying themselves. It was 2 hours late, none of the children didn't crawl. Like, you were there. Mm-hmm. You were there. It was 2 hours late, all the children didn't crawl, Danny Kwandam, Trinity, and they just want to say talking and enjoying themselves. Like, how important it is for you to see that.
In, to see Trinity humble?
Yes.
Every parent's joy. Because mm-hmm. it means that she's friendly, she's approachable, and she's just a loving child. She's really a loving child.
Yeah. No, it's a boy that will carry you. It's a boy that will carry you far. You know what I mean?
Because yeah.
You can't just sing good. And they always tell you, people all the time, singing good is art, but you could get a million singers that could sing real good too for any part of the world. Mm-hmm. Like the world big, you got Africa, you got England, you got America, all over, you got the Caribbean. But being humble is it? No, I want you to explain, right? Because every time they got team talent and your people are in it, you seem to have the formula.
It's called coaching.
Yeah, no, they got enough people that's called staff coaches. Yeah. Or the dorm, man. So if it was just coaching, you wouldn't have been all your time. Other people would have been. No, that's
well,
being real.
There are voice trainers.
And then there's a coach.
And then there's a coach.
So that you're telling me, okay, are you hashing up? Go explain different things.
So the coaching, a voice trainer is a person who focuses on the vocal health of and techniques of the voice. A voice trainer teaches you how to sing. Mm. A voice trainer teaches you about chest voice and head voice. They're two different sounds that these body parts create, literally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they also assist you in educating yourself about your voice.
Mm.
A vocal coach, on the other hand, the assumption with a vocal coach is that you already can sing.
Mm-hmm.
A voice teacher can teach you to sing.
Mm-hmm.
A voice coach already believes you can sing. So we don't go through that process of teaching you to sing. And so what a voice coach, a voice teacher does, she develops your voice at any level. They're often certified. They're educated in vocal technique, and they focus on building your voice first. They help you with breathing, your voice pitch, forming vowels, and singing with clarity. Blend your high voice and your low ranges, as I would have just explained.
Mm-hmm.
Phrasing your musical notes and learning songs. Whereas a coach now helps you to develop the performance of an already functional singer. They may or may not be certified, but they definitely will have some experience in vocal technique. They help to enhance your stage presence, improve your showmanship skills, connect you with the crowd, and dominate a song. And that's what I do. So when I work with any singer,
and
dominate a song.
I love
that's
that,
the purpose
Carrie.
Of it. That's literally the purpose of a coach. Nice. So the coach also, like a coach, football coach, it's the same discipline, even if you were on a field playing with a ball or something, it's the same discipline.
Mm.
You train little children to play, but you see when you got MBA and stuff like that, ain't no more training.
Mm.
We got to figure out the strengths and the weaknesses of our players, who's a better kicker, who's a better blocker, defense, better shooter.
Mm.
So when you're preparing someone for competition as a coach, all of those things I have to incorporate. What are the highs and lows, the strengths and weaknesses of my singers? How high they can sing or how low they cannot sing. If they are shy, I got build, move that. I got work and help to build confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because confidence is key. But then you could have a case where a person is too confident and that can affect them. So it also has to be a balance and showmanship. A quiet person, for example, if you're doing soca, right? One of the things about soca is that you gotta know how to communicate with your audience. That is fundamental with soca. You could sing soca and sound sweet. Soca is about entertainment. So you have to be able to speak with an authoritative voice with the crowd to get them to do what you want. You can't say to an audience, put your hand in the air, please. No. please, it's a please meeting.
Please raise your hands.
No, you have to say that with a level of authority. You have to be clear in your command. Soca is a command genre. You can sing it sweet, but when you have to engage the audience, there's an element of interaction you must have. So if you are a shy person, you got to come out of that real quick. And quiet does not mean that you're a great performer. You can be quiet, but you still got to know how to speak to people. When you're doing a show song, with a show song, for example, Diana, who would have just won Richest Outing Talent, it was Diane's issue was not voice. She had a great voice. It was not for lack of confidence, even though there was a little bit of that there. But with Diane, it was structure. She had no structure. She had no order. So if you put her on the stage, she can sing a song good, but it is not a victorious one.
You
needed to win.
I get what you mean.
So there were some points within her coaching that I said, okay, we can do this here. Don't do that. Because one of the things about learning cover songs is that you tend to try to sound like the original singer. But in competition, judges want to see creativity. How else can you do this instead of sounding like this? Now, it don't mean you got to change up the entire song, but if you can just slot in little pieces, that is going to get the judge's attention. So, for example, when I was teaching her, training her with...
Run to You?
Not Run to You. Must Rihanna? Be Love.
Mm-hmm.
Must be love on the brain. Right. Mm-hmm. So usually that's a repetitive refrain. That's
up.
A refrain. Must be love on the brain. Must be love. So I told her, hold out love. Leave brain. On the leave brain. So her, she's like, must be love. I'll hold it out for as long as you can. That's dynamics.
Mm.
That is what dynamics is.
Mm-hmm.
Judges are going to be like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I said, when you come out of that, don't do on the brain, hammer home, it must be love.
Mm.
It must be love.
Make that statement.
She ain't do none of that, though. She ain't do none of that. I think, because the nerves. But the good thing about coaching still, even if the client don't do all of or exactly what you rehearsed, there is a default. So you can still land somewhere.
That's where no get answered because
there, you can land somewhere.
Because how she's saying must be love on your brain ain't nothing like Diana.
Mm-mm.
So that way glad you mentioned the
right.
Default.
Y'all saw the show?
Yes, yeah.
I saw it. So one of the other thing now is showmanship. As I said, coaches, one of the job of a coach is to present a package, a show package. So Diana's a full woman, full blown. So I told her, how are you going out? She said, I can just go and sing. Again, structure.
Yeah,
you see,
yeah.
If you don't know, if you don't have an order and you don't have a structure, you can go and do anything, stand up anyhow. That's not what coaches do. Every second of coaching from me, every second of a song has to have coaching. Because if you miss a beat, not literally musical beat, but if you miss something, you could alter the total training, the total coaching, the total type of rehearsals that we've done. So when she said, no, I can go and just face the audience. I said, no, you're going to back the audience and you can do, because the song is a sexy song, Must Be Love on the Brain is a sexy song. So I tell you can do this and you can do this. Automatically the judge is going to take note on your performance.
Yes.
I said, but you can, and when you turn real nice and sultry and sexy because you're a grown woman, okay? And then when you start to sing the song, keep the sexiness in the song. Because that song is a really sexy song.
Yeah.
Compared to Run to You Now,
it's
a more emotional type song. So when Diana finished her song, I messaged her, my bonny brain. I said, you ain't doing every rehearse. It was great though, which is good.
But I can choose. I can choose Sarah Karen.
Having a rehearsal, right?
At the coach, were you there mentioning to me, right? Mm-hmm. I saw.
Right.
But that was that like that's probably why you're the coach. You get me? Yeah. Because the things you're mentioning that you didn't see or she didn't do, I saw. Like when she, how she sing Must Be Love ain't how she accustomed singing it. But mm-mm. Then again, that's probably what you mean by the default.
Default. That again, still, there has to be a default. Oh, yeah. There's always a default. Yeah, yeah. So even though she didn't do what rehearsed, her default was still in place. So she didn't sing off notes. She didn't out of breath. She wasn't winded.
And she gave the up front. And she gave the up.
Right. Mm. Whereas, so then they messaged her and they said,
that was important.
That was good, but don't risk that with, I'm texting her, don't risk that with,
Run to you. Yeah.
Because Run to You is, there's a degree of difficulty in Run to You vocally that if you don't land it, you could go off. Because Whitney Houston's song. Whitney Houston's songs have a lot of power and dynamics vocally. So I said to her, don't get carried away with the emotion, land it. When you go up, do your breathing, land it. And I mean, like, to me, it's funny, when that song was done, she messaged and said, I could have done better. I said, what? You do that song?
Yeah, Dan is real singing.
I said, you did that. So I said, you could have done more better in the first song, but that was still great because I think that was the song she got most points.
Yeah.
But she did excellently in Run to You because Run to You is a difficult song to sing vocally.
But with her big voice, right?
And she has a big voice.
What was most impressive with Diana's big voice is how she handled some of the changes in the song.
Yes.
Like, how she sang Will You Stay, that part. How she sang that song.
Which was that one?
Will you stay? Yeah, Will You Stay. That whole bit. He's singing.
Right. Uh-huh.
But she sang it.
Girl, singing.
Yeah. But she sang it different to Whitney.
And then also, one of the things our coaches do, you have to find, you have to either take out stuff or put in stuff. So, for example, for Must Be Love on the Brain, that's a wordy song. Mm-hmm. So I told her, no, take out and. You don't need to say and.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a rest for your voice.
You can't lose a point for that.
Take it out.
Yeah.
Then you're going to lose a point if you don't sing and.
Yeah, yeah.
But you will lose a point if you sing and out of wind, out of breath, and the judges can't hear what you're saying. Diction.
Mm.
So I said, cut it, put it out, right? And that's exactly what we did. And it was a really good presentation. Also in Run to You, the lyrics is, you know the song is, there've been some times when it's always wrong. Can you see the hurt in me? Mm-hmm. Right. So I said, change the lyrics or add something. I said, I'm a girl who's been down sometimes.
She did, yeah. I'm a girl.
And I'm not sometimes. Always strong. Yeah. Can you see the hurt in me? So it's personal now. So when you make it personal, then you gonna sing from your heart. That's what judges see. So with her, it was easy to work with Diana. Even to the very day of the competition, Diana was in my house on Sunday. She almost didn't make it. I said, no. The reason why I wanted her to come, because Diana's forget a lot. So that was a strategy. Come. Because what we do here can stick. Because the rehearsal we did 2 days ago, you don't remember. But what we do here is going to stick. And she came.
That was good for us.
And it was wonderful. And took her home. And I felt really good. I've had the privilege of working with so many talented, awesome, awesome children. Tariq, Kenya, Trinity, of course.
Yeah.
Shante, Aline Clark.
Yes.
Who else? Jaleesa, who won the over 21.
And thing one, thing main two. Like,
who?
Kenya
won.
I know you just mentioning the names, but Kenya won too.
Yes,
Jaleesa, Jaleesa Edwards.
Jaleesa, my sweetheart.
Yes,
gosh, she's my sweetheart. She's such a sweet person, right?
So, and this is when you know like a coach worth his salt, right? Jaleesa voice, right, which is great also, but so much different than
Jaleesa's voice and Diana's voice is like two complete opposite voices.
Yeah, be like so,
in sound, in tone, in pitch, in resonance.
Yeah.
Whereas Diana's voice is big, so her resonance, she pushes from the chest, which allows her big voice to get bigger. So that's what I love about Diana's voice.
Mm.
Diana's voice can, she can't go too high, but
when she gets high, there's a huskiness at the top of it.
Listen, man, when she reaching for it and don't care.
When she reaching, you just hear a huskiness.
So you talk about that authenticity.
But it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. That, so you talk about that authenticity, mm-hmm. like there's something about that, right, caring. Mm-hmm. Which, when a good coach come in, right, where the body is screaming, them is shouting, there's something like if they're almost at the peak of the range.
Yes.
But the fact that they may care, the game for it is yes. few. So raw and good, like Junior Gong is do it a lot.
Yes.
Edwin would do it a lot. Edwin would pull and do a key and go for the note.
Mm-hmm.
I find that she was so much more comfortable doing that.
She had a coach. And that's not me.
And that's not me.
No, but this is important because these is young people. But no, Karen, these young people be dealing with yes. and young people's careers and futures.
Yes.
So it's important that we mention these things because these things are not things you want. These are things that are needed.
If this is the art
then
form
skating around this, yeah. go, right, say that, go ahead.
If
sorry.
This is the art form that and the career, if it's a career of choice that you want to pursue, where it's not just you sing a little karaoke and you, no, if this is something you want to do, there is a need for a vocal voice trainer as well. I'm not saying don't get a voice trainer, but if you want to win a show, you want somebody that's going to see beyond your flaws, because my job as a coach is to minimize your weaknesses, because every artist and singer has a weakness. So
facts.
My job as a coach is to hide them
and
to show your strengths more. So because a coach is supposed to see what you can't see, a coach hears what you can't hear. And I always tell my clients, I'm your biggest critic, and when I'm working with you, I'm not your friend, because I gotta be honest with you. So one of the things that I would tell them also is to make sure that you do everything that we practice, and when you go home, do it in the mirror and make sure that you get that going. I think that one of the things that I want to say Richard Stout is this competition, and any competition where the youth is involved, is just to make sure that the kids not only have access to trainers, voice trainers, our voice teachers, but that they have coaches. It's because one of the things about having a coach is this: the audience get a good show.
Yes, you that is important, especially for a child.
And it makes the judges work harder.
Yeah.
They gotta tell themselves,
oh, which they enjoy, by the way. People don't know this, and you will know this because you are not only a coach; you judge things or competition
right,
already. You enjoy that.
You enjoy it. One of the things about having a good coach, you get a good show. And the audience enjoys it. So it wouldn't be a case where somebody says, oh, so-and-so was better than so-and-so per se. It would be too hard to decipher. And those things make judges have to think hard. And that is where judges then got to start do deliberating and deleting. Okay, let's compare this body with this body. That's what judges have to do.
They have to nitpick.
You got to nitpick on things.
Which is a good thing for the art form, by the way.
Yeah.
But I love caring how you... I love...
You see how I'm talking?
Yes.
This is how I am with coaching. I get excited.
Yeah.
Because I see, as a coach, you got to see the end. You can't see only what you have in front of you. You got to see... Yes, she can hit this note. Yes, she's going to win. And it's whether she win or not. The fact remains, you are preparing them for
like
victory.
Okay. When you say you go at the coach, you have to see the end.
You got to see the end. You have to see the end. Coaches who coach NBA and football, they can't go with the mindset, well, I ain't know if...
Well, it's true. You got to win the match. Yeah.
That you got the right man in the right spot.
The boy kicking the ball
is the right man for the ball. The boy blocking is the right one. The back shooting is the right one.
Yeah.
And when you do that, victory is in play. Now, you don't know what the other persons are going to bring, but your focus is on your team.
So when I coach my clients,
we don't coach... And that's another thing. And this is something I need to say, right?
Yes, go ahead.
When I coach... my clients, I don't coach nobody to beat nobody. I coach you to be a better you, to come out of your zone, your comfort zone, to be a better vocalist.
That's the next question I was going to ask you. What's your goal? But
my job as a coach is, you see, I get real excited, passionate about
that's good.
When I was working with my daughter first, who went through Teen Talent and won all three categories, my job was to assess all of the singers and to say, okay, Trinity, this is what we want you to do. But I don't tell her why I want her to do it. Because in my mind and my ears, I've already assessed who her competition is. I remember when I was working with Shante Ali in Junior Monarch, when she won the first Junior Monarch. Mm. I showed up at the grand rehearsal and I sat down and then watched all of the contestants. And when I done, I said to myself, this is her competition, that low boy. And interestingly, the low boy that I said were her competition to come second. So I observed him and I said, okay, I know what I gotta do. And then I coached, I changed some stuff, altered some stuff to say, okay, let's do this. And she won. But when she won, it was like, we were in California, in Trinity. So they called and said to her, I said, all right, I can sleep now. Because I knew it. I know when you're going to win, right? Because, and that's if you do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And that's based on criteria. That's another thing. Criteria is that guide for coaches, if you have a coach. And it helps me to... It assists me in how to do a thing. Because too much of a thing ain't good either. You can be confident and be too confident and you kill all your chances. I could tell you to belt, but then you might shout. So there's always, there always has to be a balance.
Nice, nice.
Right. And the judges, the thing about that is, when you're on that stage competing, it's the judges that are assessing you, me. I've done my part, you've done your part. And there's always room for... nerves. When you go out there, you get the nerves and you just forget words or songs. I don't know if any of y'all know what it is to go on a stage and sing, but that 5 minutes of your life just be so hard. It don't be easy, you know? So that's why when you have rehearsals, you gotta constantly keep repeating, practicing. That's where practice comes in. And that's another thing. Practice is not rehearsal. Rehearsal is what you're going to do on the night of
Preach
the show.
Preach, Carrie, girl.
Practice is what you do on a daily basis. So once you keep doing a thing,
your brain
and your left brain starts to...
Listen, and they love having these conversations with you, right? It's just like glad this one on air, right? And of course, we need to have these conversations much more because there's so much more we could go into.
Yeah.
When you spoke about practice and rehearsal, right? Like sometimes the average person, and through their ignorance, because you can't fault them either, because we don't always know what we
know.
Do you understand? But before you know, you will look at all to the same. But then you understand the difference. Why is it important for young artists to know the difference between the two and not see both as the same?
Yeah, practice is not rehearsal, and it's important because your approach matters.
Nice, yes.
Because if you treat a rehearsal like a practice session,
See
what I'm saying?
When you treat
a rehearsal, and that's why whenever there's a show, there's something called a grand rehearsal. Whatever you're supposed to do on the night of the show is what you gotta do with the band. That's not trying to bring nothing new. You're changing the key. We ain't stopping the way. Everything that we rehearse is what is to be done, right? Practice is when you come, you get little practices with the band and stuff like that. Whenever I've performed with the Royal Police Force Band several times and Trinity. When you go with the Royal Police Force Band, they have their scores. You gotta sing how you can sing on the night. Because them men got a schedule. And that's another thing. They operate with a schedule. You gotta come know what you're doing. So that's why sometimes when you have a band, musicians can be temperamental. They don't want to go over a song all the time.
Like, and
it's the truth.
They expect
that when you come there, you know what you're going to sing, you know where you're going to start, you know what you're supposed to do. Musicians. So that's another thing, Sluggy. Saying that the show has reintroduced live musicians, which I think is fabulous. One of the things that would need to also be introduced is to have workshops so that young contestants, bear in mind, these are not seasoned contestants.
Yes.
These are the little children that probably never hold a mic in their life, that they need to know how to work with a band. And so it's important that you have this training, you have these workshops. There's a life call.
Yes, and we can take that quick. Me introduce Randy first. We want Randy to come and tell Barbados about this film and this movie before we finish that is coming out. And Mr. Eastman wanted to also introduce us to who is here in the studio with us. And then she's going to tell Barbara this all about this movie, how to support the movie, and what's the purpose of this movie coming out. You all know I love homegrown talent, so I must plug this. So Randy, introduce yourself to Barbados and the young lady.
Hey, good night, Barbados. And okay, introduce myself to Barbados, but yeah, good night. Thanks for the opportunity, Sluggy. In the studio tonight, we have Ms. Sharissa Brathwaite, a young theater art student of the University of West Indies. Nice. I've been have a cadre of young with me. Feature five short films.
Tell you what, Randy, can you give us a call at the studio, because your the signal is not the best.
Okay, no problem. Go ahead.
Good night. My name is Sharissa Brathwaite, and I will be part of the End Violence campaign. So we have five short films discussing different types of abuse: domestic abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse. So we want to shed light on these types of persons are not made aware of what is happening or how you know you are part. Or yeah, he's back.
Go ahead.
So people will not know that they're being abused. So this film and this series is to shed some more light on what is happening in this day and age.
Yeah.
You're there, Randy?
Yeah. Yeah, Sharissa summed it up. So what's happening, we're going to launch the film series on Friday. So Barbados can look out for the launch on Friday, November the 18th. And it's going to come live via End the Violence page. Sorry, the Division of Youth page on YouTube. And that's going to be Friday evening at 3:30. Right? So if you're not following now, follow Division of Youth on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. And you can also follow the Instagram pages, End the Violence on Instagram and End the Violence on Facebook. Now, I have to say, Sluggy, as well, these short films were written by Dr. Denise Charles and Mr. Carl Alf Padmore. They compiled the scripts for the short films and conceptualized how we would portray them on film. The Division of Youth had held a jingle competition, and Shanti Aline Clark, who Kerry mentioned earlier, won the jingle competition with her song Stop the Violence. A number of other songs were in the competition, and the Division of Youth asked me to put together something utilizing the songs. And I said, well, I don't think we should go with a competition that's kind of cliche. How about let's do a movie or a short film? And they were all for that. So I was then tasked to put together a team. The videography was done by Graham Cumberbatch and his team. And of course, these young actors, Sharissa Brathwaite, I don't remember everybody's name, Brittany,
Paul Hunt,
Tabitha, Paul, D'Amico. Sharissa, help me, don't let me forget anybody, please. I don't like calling names because you forget, you know.
Brittany,
of course, Tabitha, you said Tabitha already, yes. Paul, Shane Paul, who are all students of either BCC or UE. Danny Cole, you have Danny Cole, you have D'Amico, really talented young men who really portray their parts. And the films are really emotional when you get to watch them and see the direction that they're taking and the approaches that they're taking for violence and the different types of violence. Of course, you have the physical violence, which is expected, but the ones for domestic and psychological violence really cause you to think and wonder if you are actually contributing to someone else's abuse from a psychological perspective. And I think it's timely right now, especially with the advent of the amount of gun crime that's happening in the island. I think we need to really have these films shown to young men for consideration and for them to think about what their contribution to violence in the society and how they are probably aggressing other people, even in schools. Bullying comes out in the film. You know, those kind of things are a lot of things that we have to consider in society as young people, as older persons in society as well. How do we contribute to the violence that we may place on another person?
Yes, for sure.
Sounds interesting, Randy.
Yes, it was, and it was a great experience to work with such amazing young people. It also made me think a lot about things that are happening in our community. We don't realize that we are being abused until we see or hear something out. So I recommend that you all stay tuned, log in, like, subscribe, and keep on. So it was also, honestly, it was such a great opportunity. And we had so much fun behind the scenes. And then seeing the product, it was just like, oh, my God, like, that's me. So for sure.
Teresa mentioned on the behind the scenes as well, the actors, what they did, they shared their perspective on the different types of violence after they completed the scenes, because they were in character still to some extent, and they were able to share, well, look, this really is something that we need to think about as young people, how we portray it. Also, that something else I want to bring up, Sluggy, as well, the song that Shante Allen Clark won with the jingle competition, Stop the Violence, Mr. Sluggy Dan, Kevin Watson, rewrote that song, refashioned it, and they produced the longest Sluggy in a jingle in a new style and a new version called End the Violence, then to coincide with the actual films. Mm-hmm. So that will be on the Lion Music. We also utilize the other songs from the competition that the other youngsters would have used within the competition. That's how we managed to use that musical component to tie in with the films. And this film series ties in with the Division of Youth and their End the Violence campaign. You will see around the island at various bus stops, there are decals on buses, there are decals on the bus stops, speaking about the End the Violence. So, like I said, go to End the Violence on Instagram, go to End the Violence on Facebook. You're going to see the content there. You're going to see the teaser, the trailer. The trailer has a real movie-type feel. Mm-hmm. I think Sluggy would have seen it. Sluggy should have shared it as well. You can speak to that. You know, it really gives you a real movie-type theater kind of feel that the trailer has brought forward for this particular set of films.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Randy Eastman. Sluggy, we're going to wrap up. Going to get your final thoughts.
Yes. Shantel, give them your number quick again, please.
Sure. 836-5942.
836-5942. I need some assistance for this young lad. Next week, Saturday, bring in all 5 contestants and Kieran Clark. We're coming here again. We're going to be breaking down all the performances to get the recordings from Radar and the video guy. And we can have a great show next week. Kieran, I put you on the bus on air. Are you good for next week?
Good.
So next week, Saturday, Ollie, bring in all 5 contestants and Kieran and I. We can pull down everything. Be a generator, my rhyme. This evening was awesome. Make sure you all go and check out that movie. Support your homegrown talent. Ollie, next week, Saturday, Sluggy Dan, I'm out.
Make sense for independence with the NTI and some good old time Bajan sayings. You know these Bajanisms full of wisdom. And it only makes sense that we start make sense for independence with this Bajan saying. Pick sense out of nonsense. Pick sense out of nonsense. If somebody tell you to pick sense out of nonsense, it means that there is more to what is being said than what is actually being said. And you have to listen carefully, read between the lines, and figure out the real story for yourself. Pick sense out of nonsense. That is what you gotta do these days when you're listening to the news or surfing the internet. They got a whole lot of Nancy stories and propaganda posing as proper information out there. If you want to be a real star Bajan, you gotta get good at picking sense out of nonsense. Upgrade your sense picking skills with one of these courses from the NTI and Coursera. Call you never too good to get better.